This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hello again. Welcome back to the Bachelor Podcast, week 8 of the Matchelor. Hello again, as always, to Katie Waite. Hi, Katie.
Hello.
We can make one promise this week, and that is that this podcast will be more exciting than this week's episode of The Bachelor.
And that's not saying much.
Yeah, I know I set the bar low, but it's incredible that a hometowns week that included someone nearly falling to their death was still a snoozer of an episode.
I know. Not much effort was put into this episode.
It really
at
wasn't.
All.
By anyone.
By the crew, producers, contestants, like anything, like it was just very subpar, and we didn't even hear from all of the members that were part of the family and slash friends date and hometown portions. It was just, they were just like, hurry up, just put something together, we have to submit it to air,
say something to a parent, move on.
Yeah. Just say anything. It doesn't matter. We don't care.
The episode was so bad for me that we've talked about this before. I never look at stuff, and I don't know about what happens, but I never investigate the social media of these people. We get sent stuff all the time and I just don't read it. But I went down this Reddit hole of like some of the stuff that Rachel did, and I'm not going to repeat it because I don't know how much of it is real, but just go to the subreddits of The Bachelor and it's all in there. If half of this stuff is true, I don't care whether she was first, second, third, whatever. Obviously, we might see her after the final rose, but that's it. Because, oh my God, she can release all the apologies she wants. I didn't know that.
I'm definitely going to have to check it out.
Yeah, I only knew the antebellum photo, which is bad enough. I mean, that alone should be disqualifying. But like, whew, that's what this episode did to me. It just seemed like no one decided, like they all decided together, like no one's going to put in any effort. We're just going to...
At all. Like I was so, and at one point I looked and we still had, I think, like 45 minutes left. And I was like, oh my gosh, like we've only done three out of the four dates already. Like this is, it was a long one.
It was a long one. And it was both full of length, but full of nothing. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense. Because like you said, there's 40 minutes left. Like, oh, wow, so much is going to happen. And then it didn't.
Yeah. I don't know if it was just more commercials just filled in. But like, I don't know. It was rough.
Well, and it was, I think, on the heels of the Bachelor hometown or the Bachelorette hometowns, where it seemed like each of the last four people put a little bit more effort into like opening a window into their life as much as you can,
right,
in a bubble on a resort. And I get that that's difficult to do, but I felt like on The Bachelorette, we at least got a little bit of that and it was fun. And in this one, I mean, I thought it started out okay with the classroom and Michelle. I'm thinking, okay, each of these people are going to give us that window. And we never got it. Even Michelle's sort of opened a little, and I still like her the best, but I'm surprised we didn't get more. And just because you're in a bubble doesn't mean you can't deliver more.
Yeah, I think Michelle and Serena were really the only ones that showed us anything about you know, Serena with the, all the Canadian.
Oh, that's true.
Like the quizzing and stuff. But even that, like, that was just about really where, like, where she's from, like her location. Like, it wasn't really about her. And Michelle was kind of the opposite. Like, it went into her a little bit, but not about, like, her daily life, which I guess she did with, you know, with the teaching and the students. And I thought that was, I agree, I think the best one. But still, I think she could have done more, or it was just edited down too much or something. But but I thought it was a really good touch to have those students on, you know, on the Zoom, especially because that's how teaching is these days anyway, is on Zoom. So I thought it was a good touch to add it to the hometown episode.
Yeah, and they loaded the kids up with great questions, whether it was their questions or not. Like, they definitely showed the good ones and put them on the spot. And I thought Matt handled himself really well. You know, like, have you kissed her? Like, this is all we need to do, or hold yeah. hands. That's what you do with someone you like. And
you could tell the kids, like, reading the questions. Like,
oh, of course.
Like, the girl who asked, like, the long question and everything, she was, like, reading it, like, word for word. It was cute.
It was. And, you know, listen, we've gotten probably the most from Michelle that we could possibly get for someone that showed up late to the show. Not Heather late, but late. and among these, you know, these last four, which turns into these last three, I mean, I don't know how you don't look at her and think, okay, she makes the most sense here, you know?
Yes.
You know, again, maybe it's this knowing the stuff about Rachel that, you know, because before I certainly looked at her much differently before any of that came out.
Right.
And Serena clearly had no interest in being there. And Bree, it seems fine, but I just don't see that same sort of connection because they really haven't talked about anything. So we didn't get a ton from Michelle, but the fact that we got the most from her date portion and then her family seemed the most accommodating, and maybe accommodating is the wrong word, supportive. I mean, because basically they were open about this.
Supportive.
And listen, yeah, like we trust you. You think this is the best for you? This is the best for you. It wasn't, there just seemed to be a lot more sort of side eye and, like, not even backhanded compliments, but just sort of half in, half out with their kids for going through this, as opposed to Michelle's parents, who were hesitant at first, which she had said as much, but in their meeting, their actual hometown, were all like, yep, if we trust you, and that's the most important thing.
Yeah, which can be good or bad. Sometimes you might want, you know, a little bit more of Serena, like, trying to figure out what you want. But I think Michelle was just, she's all in, she wants this. I thought Matt did a good job too with all of the families, but I think he repeated himself a lot.
Oh, like, my God.
And he, you know, he's like, I'm falling for your daughter. Like, I think he said that four times. And he didn't want to say anything, even if he already decided in his head. He was very, you know, very cautious of what he said to each family, which is good, but doesn't make for good TV.
No, it doesn't. But I felt bad for Michelle because, you know, which is very common in this show, people decide, okay, well, this is sort of my last chance before we get to Fantasy Suite, so I better tell him how I feel, or her how I feel, depending on the show. And, you know, she, again, hedges a little because sticks with the falling, but then gets back a positive smile. And she somehow took that as a positive, which, I mean, I guess is a positive, use the word again, for her, of looking on the bright side of
things. Well, she seemed all confident after that, which I was like, does she know that he didn't say it back? Or
anything for that matter. He didn't even give her the obligatory thank you for sharing that with me, which was
it was just like, just nothing. But she was very confident in it, and, you know, and said, when Matt and I walk away from this experience hand in hand, like life will be so full. Like, good for her for having that confidence.
Yeah. And I hope, yeah, after seeing these four, I hope that she's the one there at the end. And if not, I mean, she's who I would want as the Bachelorette if she doesn't win this.
I think she would be perfect for the Bachelorette.
Yeah. And, you know, we can sort of rank our choices a little bit later. But first, we need to talk about Rachel for 5 minutes.
How Rachel almost died.
So the skydiving portion is something that I would totally do as long as it's, and it sounds weird saying this after seeing them crash into the ground, but as long as I have someone tandem with me. You know, I'm not going to ever.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't. Like, I could do it 10 times. I'm not doing it by myself. Now, I don't know that I'd want the 13-year-old that they sent with Rachel.
he was a child.
Yeah, that would have scared me a little bit.
That's why they crashed.
And to see Matt land and just be like, oh, and then have, like, in real time, see him watch her almost die. And obviously she was fine, so maybe that seems like hyperbole to say that. But when you look at the slow-mo of how she hit the ground.
Oh, she did a complete face plant.
Like, that was legit.
I wonder why she had grass in her mouth, but she didn't. She wasn't even crying.
No.
After that, how did that happen?
Yeah,
falling.
I have to say there were some people with some rather inappropriate responses to her,
of course,
crashing to the ground. And while I would never, no matter what you do, I don't want you dying.
Yeah.
I did chuckle at a few of them, especially after we knew she was fine. But for her to just sit up and, like you said, be pretty much fine, that was
interesting. She laughed it off and, like, then started right into a conversation with Matt. I would have been like, can you give me a minute? Like, I face planted. I have all grass in my teeth. Like, she didn't even seem hurt.
No, she brushed her hair before she saw an EMT. I mean, so bizarre. I mean, how do you not, like, at least...
Was this staged? I don't know.
Oh, no. It's like the moon landing. It was faked in a television studio.
Exactly.
And that was a joke, people. The moon landing was not fake. I could see the emails. All right. Don't you say... No, I know. But the other interesting thing about this crash was when she told her mother about it, her mother was laughing.
I know.
Her
mother was laughing, and then she's like, I have so much makeup on, like, I have bruises all over my face. Like, isn't that concerning?
And her mother's laughing throughout the whole thing. And I don't know if it's nervous laughter or if it's just much like her father and sister are just like Red Flag City, but... Your daughter's
I think she thought it was supposed to be a funny story, and then she started talking about, like, her bruises, and she's like, oh.
Yeah, I had a hard day. Like, literally, you could see the bruising on my face if I had makeup on. And like, okay, so let's talk about Matt as your husband. Would you say yes? And her father, who, much like Rachel and Rachel's sister, there's plenty out there, was just not having it. And this isn't just him. I mean, this is so classic of what we get from parents every year. You know, some people are like Michelle's family. Some people are like Peter's family or Rachel's family. Some people just don't want to buy into the process and or a specific person in the process. Mm-hmm. And with Matt's family, you can certainly go either way there, whether they don't believe in the process or the person that's in the process. Mm-hmm. And he just was not going to be convinced by anything that Matt said. This was too soon. You can't possibly create these feelings in this short of a time. And
it's funny. Cause we get that all the time. You mm-hmm. get, you know, it's a short amount of time. Engagement's so important. Like, how can you know with not a lot of time? But, like, that's the show. Like, you knew your daughter was going. Like, maybe you didn't think your daughter would make it this far or something.
Sure.
But, like you knew she was going on the show and you knew what the show was. So yeah, like
there's,
and I'm not just saying with Rachel's dad, like it's all the time, like all the time parents are like, it's too soon. Like, how do you know? I don't really trust this whole show, you know, thing. And it's like, well, that's what you signed up for.
Yeah. So even though they're the exact same thing, that's very different. So if she would come home in real life with someone that she met 2 months ago and said, you know, we're getting engaged, that is worth more freaking out over than when she goes on a show that is built around getting engaged after a few months, freaking out over. I understand they're totally the exact same thing, but it's just, you know what you're buying, you know, like if you don't like Mickey Mouse, you don't go to Disneyland. Like she understood what she was getting into. It's incredible how year after year parents or siblings or friends just don't grasp that this is what they're here for.
Exactly.
And Rachel, for some reason, because I thought Matt handled himself perfectly. Like the father just kept trying to rile him up. And he said, I'm just going to explain my situation. Yeah. I'm going to explain this experience for me. Yes, there are other women, but I'm only here to talk about your daughter. The fact that he didn't ask for permission, I thought was the perfect response, was why am I going to ask four different people for permission? Like, I just don't think that that's the place that
why is this the first time we've ever heard this? Like, that's completely, I mean, I think it was, who was it? Ben? Ben, who didn't really ask anyone and then called Lauren's dad for permission. But no one's ever like straight out said it. Like, no, why am I going to ask four dads or four parents for permission when I'm only going to be engaged to one, I think. one down the line.
Yeah. I would think that asking four is a bigger red flag than not asking at all, because that just seems so disingenuous. And so for her to get all up in arms about, I really wanted him to ask for permission. Like, he can call and ask. Like, this can still happen. But do you feel better if he asked four different fathers?
Exactly. I think it's better this way, obviously, because you're not like, all right, well, if your daughter's the last one and I have to choose her, like, do I have your blessing?
Yeah,
like, it's just so much better. Just stick to one.
Yeah. And so Bree has her home. So they go their separate ways, whatever. Rachel's upset. Fine. Good luck to you. So Bree's hometown wasn't even a home. Like, talk about, again, not even trying. Like, skydiving wasn't trying. Yeah, skydiving wasn't trying. Off-roading wasn't trying. And I get trying to tie it into their ATV date where he almost killed her. But it tells you nothing about her, where she's from, anything about her life other than just, hey, remember that time you almost killed me on ATV? Well, we're going to go off-roading in a Jeep.
This is payback.
Yeah. And, you know, they have a lot of things that they connect with, which he even said, you know, I connect with her in ways that I don't with the other women. And you just, like, can we talk about some of that? Anything? No.
We don't get anything.
No. And because he seemed to talk to her mother a little bit more about it than even he did with her. But it was just sort of.
That's why I would love to see like the actual footage of all these dates. Like, what was so terrible or boring that you had to cut out and make it this boring?
And I did appreciate, much like Michelle's parents, I did appreciate Bree's mother, who said, you know, was looking at this in a sort of a realistic way of, listen, if, you know, worst case scenario, you know, you're mending a broken heart, but we'll do it together. You know, it's not, because I think a lot of times it's just so like, oh my God, how could I ever get over this? And I'm like, well, it'll happen and it'll be fine. Yeah. Like we'll get through it. Right. Yeah. And it's so often just this, yes, you get engaged, or, oh my God, your life's over. And
yeah,
I like that her mother was like, no, it'll be okay. Like,
yeah. It's just a breakup. Your reaction will be shown on national TV, but it's just
totally. Yes. And, you know, Matt, instead of the smile or whatever he gave to Michelle, when Bree, again, fall, doesn't go all the way, Matt says, thank you for sharing that with me, which I know Serena's the one that ended up getting cold feet, but I mean, if you were to hear that,
yeah,
that's how I would feel too. I don't know which one was that.
That was Riley.
Okay, so Riley understands how Bree should have felt. She should have been. Oh my God, he said, "Thank you for sharing that with me."
I'm not the one at the end of this.
Yeah, seriously, but apparently she didn't pick up on that. So that takes us to Serena's hometown. And it's odd that she ended up getting cold feet, because at the beginning, she was like a kid in a candy store. Like, she couldn't be more excited. She was so excited. This is going to be so much fun. And they I think it was cute to go through all the Canada stuff. But like you said, it was nothing about her. It was just about Canada. Like, okay,
I don't think he needed like a lesson on Canada at this point. Like, it's your hometown date. I would have, you know, like we said, I would have liked to see more about her family life or her friends or her day to day, like what she does.
Yeah.
Like, will you move to Canada? Like, will you live in the United States? Like, what, something, just
anything,
not playing ice hockey and eating poutine.
Yeah. And which was not very appetizing looking. And I've had poutine, it's delicious, but that was not a good example. although I will say, a lot of people, myself included at first, were dunking on Matt for when she asked him what a toboggan was. And he said a hat. And I'm like, oh, well, look at this idiot saying a toboggan's a hat. Well, funny you should say that. Apparently a toboggan is also a hat. I know. I didn't know that as either. Some people went to the Google and found it. And so Matt was also right that a toboggan is a hat.
See, so, he knew what he was talking about.
There you go. And so at dinner, the most we got from a sister was saying that she gave Serena the idea to use the step stool when she walked out of the limo.
Yes.
That was the beginning and the end of what we heard from a sibling on this this week.
Well, not her sister. Her sister did the big question of, do you love him? And then
Yes.
So this was actually the only one we actually got more than something.
You're right. You are right.
But I mean, 1 out of 4 still isn't.
It still isn't great, but no, you're right. It wasn't even just the step stool. I totally forgot about that.
But she's the one that actually kind of unraveled the whole relationship.
Yeah, it's usually a bad sign when you talk to your family and then you walk away and be like, now I'm not sure what's going on. And her Canada accent, the Canadian accent, started to come out because she's, you know, this whole process. And she definitely, as soon as she heard her mother using the, again, it's not the language, but, you know, speaking with the accent, which I see every so often, once you're around people that have the accent again, it starts coming out a little bit, which I thought it was kind of funny. But yeah, you make a great point, because when her sister asked her that, she gave this ridiculously long answer that said absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And just that's
anything
what
to skate around it.
And that's
no
the
pun
sister,
intended.
Yeah. Boom, boom. and kudos to the sister for picking up on it. And usually when the parents or sisters are anti, like we were talking about before, it's just standard. Like, they're not going to be sold by anything. But she picked up on it. It was like, there's just something missing. Like, the fact that I ask you that question and you go around and around in circles instead of in something that should just be like a 4-word answer.
Yeah.
That's not a good sign. And so clearly something's missing. You're not quite smitten. And you're just
in your
head.
I think that's all she needed to hear too.
Yeah.
I think internally she was probably struggling a lot more than she let on. And she was really counting on seeing her family, I think, to kind of help with what she was feeling, because her mom helped a lot, I think, with all of the questions she was asking, and it kind of got all of her feelings out. And then she's like, at the end, she's like, oh, well, I actually have a lot to think about.
Yeah. And she
this
went
isn't
from
just a reality show anymore.
When her father asked her if, like, are you really thinking about getting engaged? And I think she went in with the idea of saying like, yes. And instead she's like, well, it's on the table. Wait a minute. I was thinking about it. Am I not thinking about it anymore? And all of a sudden now she doesn't know what's going on.
I think she like surprised herself with that response. It was kind of like, well, yeah, that's why I'm here, but I'm actually not 1,000% sure.
Yeah. And it quickly went to, oh crap, what if I get engaged and then I realize I don't want to be engaged and I shouldn't be engaged. Mm-hmm. And like, oh my God. And to Matt's credit, when she basically said like, yeah, this is all very scary and I'm in my head, he didn't freak out. He didn't like, well, you're going home right now. He said, no, like we should talk about it. Now I thought they were going to talk about it, you know, then when they're sitting there alone,
you would think,
but instead, you know, they have to, okay, everyone go home the next morning and then have Chris be like, something needs to happen here. And, they decide, yeah, we need to take care of this now. And they had to have a little one-on-one. And it reminded me a little bit, certainly without the tears, of Rachel and Peter, when Rachel basically was going over there to convince him to propose.
Yeah.
And now Matt is going over there more or less trying to convince Serena to stay so that he can propose.
Yeah.
And in both cases, it did not go well.
No. And it's funny because I, like, after seeing this, I'm like, oh, wow, she, like, we've been saying that Rachel, we think Rachel's been the front runner for so long, and that's who's at the end, and, like, or me, or Michelle, but Rachel's just been that front runner the whole time. Mm-hmm. But the way he talked to Serena and this conversation was like, oh, wait, maybe it is / was Serena, and this is who it was going to be in the end.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to think that that's how he was looking at things, because, you know.
Yeah, I was definitely surprised.
Totally.
At how I don't know, how connected he was to her.
And to go out of his way to say, you know, because in his mind, whether this is true or not, this is what he's thinking of, that you're the person I've spent the most time with. And I think it's the first time he's gone as far as saying like, I see you as my wife, I see a future, like, as opposed to, I can see this and that, and like putting you in those, like, this was very like, I see you. Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. And he said, you know, that's not how I saw our journey ending. Like, was she going to be the last one? Were they going to get engaged? And I think so. Like, after hearing him talk about this.
Yeah. And for, when she, you know, I'm not, you know, you're not my person. And it's just like silence.
Yeah.
Like he, because now this has happened a few times and he's yet to be able to convince any of these women to stay.
There has to be some type of record, I think. Like, I feel so bad for
him. Yeah. It's gotta be tough. Especially for someone who's never been through any of this process before, to be like, wow, okay. So we're like every other week, there's somebody that's choosing to leave. And
I thought I did the breaking up. Like, yes, why are all these girls breaking up with me?
Like, are they all just trying to become the Bachelor? I don't understand. But like, wait, I break up with people. And he just can't quite understand, like, every other week someone tries to break up or breaks up with me and I try to convince them to stay and I can't.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening?
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't think of it as like such a bad thing because he hasn't been in this this franchise. Like he wasn't on The Bachelorette. Like this literally is his first time doing anything like this. So maybe he just thinks this is how it's supposed to go.
And, you know, to his credit again, and I don't want to seem like I'm overpraising, but I really think in a really difficult situation, and that being a really boring episode, I think Matt handled himself well. You know, you basically then asked Chris, being like, well, so you worried the other women are going to do this?
Yeah.
And I'm like, thanks, Matt. I wasn't, or Chris, I wasn't, but.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Now I am. And for him now to stand
up. Now I
think
I'm just going
to
go home alone.
Yeah. And so instead of just going through the motions, which is what you're doing at that point, because, you know, you're getting a rose by default, he made it clear, like, listen, he didn't lie, because we've seen this before, not even lie, but like not go into detail. A lot of times in past years when this has happened, it's just been like, they're not here anymore. But he made it clear, like, she didn't see an engagement.
Yeah.
And so if any of you don't, like, taking this rose means, like, if I ask you to marry me, you're going to say yes.
This is a contract.
Like, you're signing on the dotted line.
You are saying yes. You're not allowed to say no.
I don't even need to ask the question. If you're last, you're getting the ring and you're just putting it on your finger. That's it.
And we're going to live happily ever after.
Unless it's Rachel, then we're going to have a really bad breakup and it's going to be all over the place. And I'm going to grow a really awful beard. That's what's going to happen. And we'll get to that in a second. And so obviously all three got the rose. Michelle was the only one that mentioned without hesitation. The other two just did the typical, like, of course. So clearly Michelle was like raising her hand, like, listen, for real, like, I'm ready. Let's go.
Yeah.
No issue here.
Just do it now.
Yeah. Remember me? We had the great conversations and like about real stuff. I'm over here. My family liked you. We're not racist. And, you know, Bree somehow took getting the last rose as a slight. Like, I mean, everyone was getting a rose. It doesn't matter what order it was happening in. I could see if all four were there, then I could see getting the last roses. Okay, maybe. Everyone was getting one. There was
not even. Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. I know what you mean. If one person was going home,
yeah.
But like nothing. It's never been a preference.
No. I mean, yeah. Exactly. It's not like this is the highest vote getter going first.
Yeah. Like it's not. But down to three.
Yeah, so Michelle, Rachel, and Bree. I mean, Michelle would be my pick. I'm hoping that it's Michelle. I think I'd be okay with Bree because she seems fine. And then obviously, I mean, we've been over Rachel a million times. So certainly, if it's Rachel, nothing good's gonna happen. And it already looks like Women Tell All. There's gonna be. We have to revisit this toxic mean girl stuff. I was kind of hoping they would leave those women out of it.
But then there wouldn't be a Woman Tell All.
I know. I just hearing Victoria's voice again.
It would be as exciting as this episode.
I'd rather that, to be honest with you, because hearing Victoria's voice again, I was just like, can we not?
Yeah.
I just, to hear her try to backtrack why she was just being awful to people and trying to defend it is just not something I'm interested in. But what I am interested in is that beard.
Ugh, no.
What did he do? Because I've been doing the same thing as him, except he can grow an actual beard. But like I thought this thing looked bad that I have.
Yeah.
Oh my, I feel so much better about this now. And by the way, the only time I can ever say looking at Matt James in any way makes me feel better about myself, because every other time, even when he wears turtlenecks, I'm like, yeah, okay. He's the one guy that can pull those off.
I don't get it. Why? Like, I understand like maybe if you couldn't leave because you were you couldn't leave your house because A, you were either quarantining or B, like you couldn't, be seen with your final person, whatever. But coming back on national television with that? No.
Yeah, no. I mean, and I don't want to assume that a beard means anything, but I almost have to think, like, you know, the show ends and he finds out all this stuff that's been going on, and I almost wonder if this is just his, like, well, screw this.
Yeah,
I'm going to stay inside with my Peloton and just never shave and just screw the world, and then shows up for Women Tell All and be like, this is me, folks. Deal with it. I'm a lumberjack now.
Yeah.
And so I'm guessing, by the way, the coming attractions, it looks like next week is just Women Tell All.
Yes.
Which is awful. Yeah, why do we need 2 hours of that?
We don't. But yeah, because then they said in 2 weeks we get
the famous line that we've been, one of those that we've been teased with since week one, with Chris sitting down and asking Matt, are you okay? No, I'm not. And him crying. So
do you still want to continue? And then it's just
yeah.
That's it.
I'm guessing he does. I don't know who of these.
Imagine if it just ended like that way and like there was just no finale. He's like, do you want to continue? And he just says no, and then that's it. And they just cancel production.
Honestly, that would be the most dramatic finale of all time.
It would, but
I mean, they say that a lot.
That would be a waste of 10 weeks, let me tell you.
Oh, geez. So, I mean, a couple questions. Of the three, assuming there's a winner, who is the winner of the three?
Who do I think or who do I want?
You could do both, sure.
I think Rachel, I mean, yeah, I think Rachel, he's going to end up with Rachel. I think all of this, everything that's happening is, I think you said it last week. It's obviously a horrible thing, but I think they just keep talking about it. And I think that kind of leads on to, she's not going anywhere. I think you mentioned it last week or the week before. Like, I think when we find out either she's the last one, then just more stuff's going to come out. It's going to be blown up even more, and that this isn't going away anytime soon. But I think Michelle is the best fit for.
Yeah, I agree with both of those. And
nothing wrong with Brie. I like Brie too, but
yeah, same
here. I feel like Michelle has more of a connection with him.
Yeah. Yeah, I just feel like if she were in Serena's place and Rachel left before getting to the final three, it would still be a big deal, as it should be, just like it is every time when they don't vet these people. And it's like, oh, surprise, they let another racist on. But I just don't think it would be as big of a deal. And I don't think Chris Harrison is going out of his way to defend the person that leaves fourth. You know,
exactly.
or that finishes fourth, whatever term you want
exactly.
to use.
Exactly. That's why I think she Rachel's at the end.
Yeah.
Which is going to be really interesting, I think, to watch.
Yeah, that's happen. One word for it. And so would Michelle be your choice of this group to be the next Bachelorette, or do you have someone that's left earlier that you'd put ahead of her?
I don't think so. I think, still love Abigail.
Yes, she would also be great.
Yeah, so I think Abigail and Michelle would be my two picks from this season. I like Katie, but I would put her third to Michelle and Abigail from this season.
All right. Is there anything else from not Matt's season as we get ready for Women Tell All and then the finale?
So Rachel Lindsay was contacted about possibly hosting After the Final Rose. And supposedly she is considering it. So, she may be the host for that, because we learned last week that Chris Harrison will not be hosting that. So they have contacted her about hosting that. And she didn't say no. So she's considering that, which obviously I think she would be a great choice. But I also know that she's trying to get away from the franchise. So it's kind of like, but she is still under contract too. So
yeah, well, I think this could be her opportunity though to sort of bring the change that she's been wanting from them. It sort of forces their hand a little bit if she's the one in the weeds as opposed to just going out there and being their apologist, you know?
Yeah, I think it would be a good look for her. And that's something she would want to do. We had posted on the Facebook and Facebook page and Instagram that Mac finally came out with a statement about everything happening. It's like three paragraphs, but it's not really saying anything because he can't say anything.
Exactly.
So it's basically just saying, you know, these past few weeks have been challenging. I'll speak more in a few weeks. Like, yeah, that's basically what it says. Understandable.
He realizes he's going to have a lot that he's going to need to say once he can actually say it.
Yeah. He uses the word disappointing a few times. So that's probably more in favor of Rachel, I think, in the end of this, possibly. Less exciting news, Claire and Dale have been back together, making out and hanging out together in Florida. Less than a month after they broke
up. Whatever. Sure. Good luck with that.
And then Zach Clark, the one who ended up with Tasia, came out with a story about, because we all know that he used to be addicted to pain pills, mm-hmm. like pretty heavily, that he once needed pills so bad that he convinced his doctors to take out his gallbladder.
Oh my
so
God.
That he would get pain pills, which Jeez. I thought was insane because I have gone through a gallbladder surgery. And that's not really something to mess around with. But basically he just Googled symptoms that he could tell his doctor and figured out that symptoms he was having after basically a hangover after a night of partying could be, you know, matched with gallbladder symptoms. And so he got his gallbladder out one time just to get more pain pills, which is insane.
Yeah, I would say.
Not that I really want to end on that note, but that's all we have.
Wow. Okay. Well, PSA, do not get your gallbladder out for pain pills, please.
No.
It's a bad idea. We will got a lot to unpack next week, unfortunately. And then we get to the finale and we'll find out if Matt ends up being okay. And we'll see why that beard became a thing. But thank you for joining us as always, Katie.
Thank you.
At Bachelor Podcast on all socials, and we will see you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.